From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. Raphael Kraft is a French radio reporter. Back in 2015, he was covering the refugee crisis in France.
Vendredi 5 juin, aux alentours de 16h, métro La Chapelle, dans le 18e arrondissement.
Hundreds of thousands of people were running away from wars in places like Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, and coming to Europe. France was not the most welcoming country. It's tough to get asylum there, and they'd recently closed their border. But still, refugees had made their way to Paris in the thousands. By the summer, the crisis had come right to Raphael's doorstep.
I live in a neighborhood in Paris where all refugees come. And a makeshift camp of 300 to 400 people had been settled 300 meters from my home. And for the first time in my life, there was a global problem at the corner of my street.
Raphael's neighborhood is typical Paris. Sidewalk cafes, little shops, narrow streets, and an elevated subway line.
And under this elevated subway, there is like some space where actually refugees found shelter. And people have set up mattresses on the ground, sometimes tents, and they live there. You have families that include children without water, without toilets, and they just live outside. And they had been living for almost a year in this situation.
The camp was illegal, though, and in early June of 2015, the police cleared it out. So refugees set up another camp nearby. A few days later, the police stormed that camp.
You have the police charging on refugees that they have been surrounding in a very violent way, with sticks and tear gas and stuff like this. That's what we hear now. Most of the people surrounded are refugees, but they are helped with activists who are yelling at the police.
What are these protesters actually saying?
They scream the mantra of France, which is liberté, égalité, fraternité, that is liberty, equality, and brotherhood.
Okay, so this is right at the end of your street. What did you do?
I took my recorder and I went to report. This eviction is how refugees are sometimes treated in France. The border police try to keep everyone out, and then the people who do get in aren't treated well. As I was watching this, I tried to make a border between the citizen I was and the journalist I was. But after a while, you know, the border is melting.
Seeing all these people fleeing for their lives made it hard to stand by and simply document what was happening. Raphael was supposed to be a neutral journalist, but that seemed like a cop-out. These people needed help. Raphael lives thousands of miles away from us, but his story caught our attention because it reminded us of what's happening here with the battle over immigration policy. President Trump wants to build a border wall, and his administration has banned refugees from coming into our country for the next 4 months. Americans are really split on this issue, and so, as it turns out, are the French. So let's pick up the story a couple months later, in October 2015, when Raphael takes a reporting trip to Italy, just across the border from France. Lots of refugees reach Italy by boat, people from the Middle East and African countries like Sudan and Eritrea, but they don't want to stay in Italy. There's no work, and conditions are bad for refugees. So many of them go to this one train station in Ventimiglia, Italy, to try and sneak across into France.
I was at Ventimiglia train station, the train station of this border town in Italy where all refugees gather trying to go to France. And they all gather at the train station because most of them try to go to France by taking the train.
Raphael sees hundreds of refugees waiting. Some of them sleep here at the train station, on pieces of cardboard surrounded by their belongings. Now, Raphael has seen a lot as a reporter. He spent 20 years as a war correspondent. He covered the Iraq War, the Arab Spring, the Balkans. He served in the French Foreign Legion in Afghanistan. But at that train station, he meets a Kurdish family from Iraq, and their desperation gets to him.
This family was, there was the father, the mother, two children, 1 and 2 years old, the daughters. Leah was the two-year-old daughter. They had been sleeping outside the train station for a few days. The one-year-old daughter was having diarrhea, and their aim was to go to England.
There's a French lawyer there at the train station volunteering to help refugees. Through an interpreter, she tells the Kurdish father that England's border is closed.
There are 3,500 or 4,000 people waiting to cross, and they cannot cross right now. It's impossible, especially with children.
She's trying to convince the father to forget about England and ask for asylum in France instead.
You have other refugees listening to the conversation, and after hours, and I'm not joking, hours, the Kurdish father actually accept that he would request for asylum in France.
Nice, Lyon, Bordeaux, Toulouse.
So he asks the lawyer, then take me to Nice, the French town, and take me to ask for asylum there. And because the border is closed to refugees, the lawyer answers, I'm sorry, I cannot take you there. It's illegal.
So just to be clear, it's like a catch-22. It's legal to ask for asylum in France, but illegal to cross the border into France?
Exactly. The Kurdish father didn't understand that situation. It's this catch-22 situation. So, and he had seen me arriving at the train station with my car, an old white Mercedes. And he looked at me and said, you have a car? And I said, yeah. So why don't you take us to France where we can ask for asylum? And my heart started beating a bit faster, and I told him, I am a journalist. It's illegal to cross the border with refugees inside. And then I thought to myself, this man is a father, you know, he has kids, they're 1 and 2 years old, one of them is sick, his wife is exhausted. How can I say no? So what did I do? I called a friend, Hubert. Hubert is at the head of an organization in the southeast of France that deals with homeless people. So when the refugee crisis started, there was an influx of people and he couldn't host everybody. So he started to host the refugees at his home, and it has become a habit. Sometimes you have 5 of them, 10, 20, 25 to 30 refugees. And I called Hubert and I told him there is this Kurdish family. And Hubert told me, okay, I will call some friends who will call some friends who will call some friends, and we will make them pass. Finally, someone drove them through the border, and they ended up in Hubert's place.
So they made it to Hubert's place in France thanks to your phone call. That sounds like a really good thing for that family, but by arranging all that, I mean, you were kind of acting like a smuggler.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Al. I'd rather say I acted as an intermediary. A smuggler was really what I became next.
Raphael the journalist becomes Raphael the smuggler. That's ahead on Revealed.